Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Hey, welcome there, FSHD Society podcast listeners. I am Tim, host of the FSHD Society radio show. And today we have another special episode for you. This is episode 3 of the interviews we have from the Giving Tuesday telethon event that was aired live on December 3rd, 2019. In this episode, we talk with Kylie Higgs, who's the Kansas City Chapter Director for the FSHD Society. She also has an FSHD Clinical Trial Research Network project that she manages through the University of Kansas Medical Center. Our second interview is with Dave Lucas, and Dave is the FSHD Society's Chapter Director in Chicagoland, and he talks about his walk and roll event that he just had previous in September. And then Beth Johnston finishes up this episode. She is the Chief Community Development Officer with the FSHD Society. Her husband has FSHD, and she oversees chapter programs and walk and rolls and has a lot of energy that I think comes through in each one of these interviews. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. You're listening to FSHD Society Radio Show. And our next guest we want to bring aboard is Kylie Higgs. She is the Kansas City Chapter Director, FSHD Clinical Trial Research Network Project Manager at the University of Kansas Medical Center, and we welcome her now. Hello, Kylie. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm great. Thank you.
Sure. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I have not had the pleasure to chat with you in any prior podcast or shows. This is a learning experience for me as well. So tell us a little bit about yourself, a little about your background.
Yeah, so I joined the Dr. Statlin's team here at the University of Kansas about 4 years ago. I was working elsewhere in the medical field. My mom had, at the time, had been battling cancer. I wasn't really happy where I was, so I decided I wanted to do something more, a little more meaningful, a little more valuable. So I quit the job that I was at and applied for several different research positions at the University of Kansas and ended up in neuromuscular research. I had no idea what it was at the time. And with a very steep learning curve at the very beginning, I was lucky enough to start working with Dr. Statlin and got started in FSHD. And that's really for the last 3 years. Those are the studies that I've primarily worked on here at KU. I'm, like you said, the project manager for the Clinical Trial Research Network, which has 11 sites internationally right now, and we're in the process of expanding to 19. And I also the project manager for the Resolve FSHD study that is currently running and active at 11 sites internationally.
How can, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit on this telethon already, you know, how it is so important for us, obviously, to donate. That's why we're here today. That's why we're pushing strong to get to that goal with that $100,000 match on Giving Tuesday here. But beyond that, there's also, you know, patients to be active, patients to be part of these studies. Can you talk a little bit about that, in your opinion, of why that's so important?
Absolutely. One, giving is extremely important because the FSHD Society has been a very strong partner in all of the research that we do within our clinical trial research network. They actually were the first funders of that network, and they continue to fund us to help with our expansion and help with our research. They've been very, very valuable. So know that that money also goes to our clinical trial research network and helps us. But just getting involved, what we tell patients all the time here at KU, no research we do is possible without patients. Whether it's a natural history study, it's a drug study, anything that we do, we have to have the research participants be involved and be active. And we are beyond grateful and thankful that they are willing to take time out of their busy schedules, their busy lives. And for the most part, really, every patient we encounter is more than happy to get involved. I think the biggest issue is a lot of people don't know how to get involved. And I think with this natural history study we're doing now that we're calling Resolve FSHD, we've had a lot of patients come from all over the country that, you know, weren't in research before, kind of getting their feet wet, what it feels like to be in a research study and helping them prepare for future drug studies. And we've also noticed, you know, a lot of patients have contacted us due to the Fulcrum study that's active and enrolling right now. So really just showing that there's a large and willing population of FSH patients out there that are willing to participate will help draw in even more drug companies to the field and you know, they're more willing to put in their money and expedite therapeutics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think it's tough, similar to building a chapter. I've been trying to build a chapter here in Wisconsin, trying to get the people to come out and be a part of a community, let themselves be known. That's been difficult. So I can only imagine how difficult it is to draw them in to say, hey, now you can use my body. You know, they think, oh, I'm a guinea pig. You know, they're just going to poke at me and all this kind of stuff. I'm just a piece of meat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it is hard. And I think what I've found working with a lot of FSH patients is it's really difficult because for so long they were told there's nothing. Go home. Yeah. You know, live your life. There's nothing we have for you. So it's really hard to get motivated and want to participate when really for so long you've been told we don't have anything for you. There's no cure. There's no drugs out there available. So really, with the help of the FSHD Society and our sites within the network, we've really been trying to help re-engage the community and let them know how important, you know, these natural history studies are that lead up to a lot of these drug studies. And you know, nobody wants to be poked and prodded, and that is absolutely not our goal with what we do. But a lot of the research we do is building these tests. They're usually functional assessments that we can show that are specific to FSHD, that we can then give these assessments or tools to drug companies. So everyone's on the same page. I think that's kind of the big thing that we're trying to do is have all the drug companies use the same tools, the same assessments, so we really can get a reliable and accurate picture of what drugs are working and what drugs aren't.
So is that then what you would call the focus then of your FSHD research and why it's important, would you say?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Networking?
Yes. Yes. So, so what we're doing right now are 11 sites that are active in the Resolve study. It is a natural history study. But our goal with that is to gather as much data as possible. You know, we genetically test everyone that hasn't been tested. We have tools that are specific that have been created by Dr. Tewill, Dr. Statlin, Kate Eichinger at the University of Rochester, that they've combined several different assessments and created this tool that we hope to validate. This study is the largest FSHD study that's ever been ran, with close to, once we finish our expansion, close to 300 subjects will be in the study. And then our goal is to give this data to drug companies, anybody that comes to us and help further their research. So that way they don't have to do all this natural history data. They don't have to gather it. We're doing that for them, and they can immediately go into their drug development or furthering what they're doing.
And then how do you think that then that will feed that cure? Is it really as simple as just narrowing that time?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've kind of already shown it with Fulcrum. We've worked very closely with Fulcrum in the Resolve study. Their reachable workspace is part of our study. And we've already given them some data. We've really helped them kind of move things along. At this time, we have probably four or five serious drug study, drug companies that have reached out to us and are wanting to look at our data as soon as we're able to give it to them. And we are constantly consulting with companies and other scientists and researchers about what we're doing. And, you know, they're all just kind of waiting in line to get a hold of this data so they can take off with what they're doing. Wow.
That's amazing. That's amazing to have all those connections and how it seems like you're kind of the center point, right? And then everything is
yeah.
kind of stemming off.
Yeah, it's very exciting. You know, when I tell a lot of patients, when I started here 4 years ago, we really didn't have any FSHD studies, very small natural history or muscle biopsy studies, or, you know, just some blood draws that we were gathering genetic information. So to see in 4 years to go from, you know, some simple natural history, basic data studies to a drug study is incredibly exciting. And to know then that there are other drug companies that are out there that are wanting to work with us and willing to work with us. And hopefully within the next couple of years, we'll have even more. Wow.
So those that are listening that have FSHD, your family members, caregivers, right? They're vested into a cure. So that means they're vested in hope. So with all the research that
Absolutely.
You're kind of been entangled with, what's like the thing that they should be most hopeful about that you're seeing come across your research?
I would say the amount of people who have, what we kind of say, have come out of nowhere, which isn't true. We know that there are probably 20,000 people in the United States that have FSHD, but on all of the registries, there's only 1,000 or 2,000 people signed up. So for us, it's really incredible how in the last couple of years, how the research database or the patient pool at each of these sites has really kind of grown exponentially. So that's exciting to us because, you know, that's what it takes. A drug study may only enroll 60 patients, but we really need a population of about 200 or 300 to pull from to even get that 60. So I think family members and you know, encouraging their family members to participate, helping them get to the appointments to and from, and because it does take time. I mean, it is an investment in time and energy, and then sometimes even money, you know, getting to and from the site. But I think that's the biggest thing, is to constantly encourage your family members to participate, whether it's, you know, in a registry or in a research study, or if you don't qualify for a research study, just be active in the community, active in your local chapters, making people aware of what exactly FSHD is, because you never know who's out there that's never heard of it, but may have a family member that has it.
Right. Absolutely. I know I've said this before on our podcast shows where, you know, I mean, I made a conscious choice. You know, when I got diagnosed, you're right. You get handed nothing. There's no cure, no treatment, you know? So it's this doom and gloom diagnosis, nowhere really to go. Your life is totally different, even though it's really not different. Just the news is different from when you walked into the doctor to when you leave. And then I made a conscious choice. Am I going to be quiet about this or am I going to be loud? And me sitting here, I think everybody knows their answer. Or my answer, I got loud about it. So, and to that credit, like, I know people have to come in time to that realization, but I think you have to come to it. There's more than one way to the waterfall, right? And, you know, if it's going to take you some time, you want to be quiet about it. And we heard Chris Carino talk about that as well. Our last guest, he was a little quiet about it, and then he was very loud about it. And so, you know, come see Kylie, come to, you know, one of their studies and help participate. Take the fear away from getting poked and prodded. I've done it. I drove to Minnesota and made the 4-hour trek north in February or whatever it was last year and did it. And it was worth it. It wasn't the most fun experience, but it sure as heck wasn't the worst. I'll tell you that. It was very rewarding when it was all said and done. So if people want to be part of what you're doing, Kylie, how can they find out? Either is there one in their area or just information in general that we can leave them with?
perfect. I was actually going to, I was hoping you would say that.
Sure.
So we do have a website. It's the FSHD CTRN. You can Google it. It's housed at KU. You can go through the FSHD Society. They have all of our information. We work very closely with them. One of the big, we're also on clinicaltrials.gov. So if you look up the clinical trial preparedness to solve barriers to drug development and FSHD, that's the study that you can look up. And our 8 sites in the U.S. are listed. You can contact any of the coordinators from those 8 sites. They're the primary coordinators in our research network. But that was the thing I wanted to tell you. I wanted to say too, you're exactly right. Like, be loud about it. I think one of the most important things a lot of these patients get from these research experiences, they get to network. A lot of times you'll end up seeing someone else there, or you'll attend a patient day or something within the site. And you'll get to hear from other people who have it. You'll get to meet them in person, by getting involved at these centers. But you also get a chance to meet with a neuromuscular physician who is an expert in the field. And I think that's something that a lot of patients haven't had before, unless you're lucky enough to see, you know, live near a Rochester, New York, or Kansas City, or a Baltimore, and see Dr. Wagner at Kennedy Krieger. You don't really get the opportunity to see an expert within the field. And by going to one of these 8 sites or 11 sites internationally, you get to meet someone who is an expert in FSHD, and, you know, a lot of those lingering questions you have had your entire life, a very good chance that they can help answer them or give you some resources and information to help answer those questions and explain it in a way that likely has never been explained before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do love that. I love what you said at the end there, you know, explain things that have never been explained before. I think fear of doing these things, I really think that's kind of where it lives. You know, I think that's why people have a reluctance. They're the fear of the unknown. You know, no one wants to go into a dark room.
Absolutely.
You know, they want to turn the light on first and make sure the boogeyman's not there. You know, they want to make
Absolutely.
Sure that their path is clear, that they have knowledge, that they have information. If you can, yeah, go to the clinicaltrials.gov, visit fshdsociety.org and look up this information that's happening here that Kylie's working with at Kansas Medical Center, University of Kansas Medical Center. It's all right there for you, and get educated and probably what reach out even to you, right, Kylie? I mean, they can probably do that as well.
Absolutely. I get emails every single day of what can I do to help? You know, I don't qualify for this study, but I want to help. We have focus groups that we hold when we're doing, you know, study development, protocol development. We have a patient advisory council that's actually been just incredible and has helped us create our patient newsletter that we have for the RESOLVE study. There's so many opportunities to help, maybe not necessarily be in a research study if you wouldn't qualify or if you're not quite there yet. There are other opportunities to be active and to help us, especially further our research and hear from patients and see exactly what we need to be working on.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for being here, Kylie. I appreciate it. You shed a light on this part of our FSHD world that needs to be shined. We've had scientists on, and we keep, you know, pushing the fact that we need patients to be active in these trials, into these studies, and I think you did a great job in representing that today.
Thank you so much. I feel very lucky to be on.
His name is Dave Lucas, and he's from the Chicagoland FSHD chapter. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Good, Tim. How are you? That's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure, but you can handle it, guy. You can handle it. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Honored to be here. I'm and grateful for you for taking on this all day endeavor. I think it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is a lot of fun. You know, all I'm doing is really just sitting and making phone calls. That's really all I'm doing all day. And that's at least how
I'm just having conversations.
I'm just having conversations. At least that's how I try to quell the anxiety. I try to, you know, keep it down. I just always make sure that everyone answers their phone. So if you're on this guest list today, help me out. Just answer the phone. Then all will be well. So, Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, those that don't know Dave Lucas, what do they want? What do you want them to know?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed coming up on 5 years, 5 years ago. And when I got diagnosed, was definitely that running over by a truck moment. Right. You know, don't really remember a whole heck of a lot, but definitely was a lot to take in. And but when I had kind of dusted myself off a little bit and picked myself up, I reached out to the FSHD Society and subscribed to newsletters and kept, you know, looking for a meeting here in the Chicago area. I wanted to connect and meet with people because I had just felt so alone and like nobody else knows what this is. Nobody else knows what this disease is. I haven't met anybody. And I kept waiting for emails. I kept seeing emails and never saw anything with Chicago. And so I reached out at some point and said, "And hey, I haven't seen any meetings for the Chicago area. Is there a group out here?" And they said, "No, there isn't one because nobody's stepped up to do one." I said, "Well, I'll do it." And that was like 4 years ago. So we have been meeting as a group for about 4 years, and we became part of the FSHD Society's chapter program a little over a year ago. Yeah, October. But we've been meeting as a group for you know, for over 4 years, and that has been a immensely wonderful, powerful experience to not feel alone. I remember that first Starbucks meeting where we had a private conference room at a Starbucks and sat down with three other people that had FSHD. And that was the first time for any of us that had ever met anybody else with FSHD. And that was a really powerful moment for me to look across the table and look in someone else's eyes and say, "Oh my gosh, they know what I have. They get it." And it still gives me goosebumps to this day, 4 years later, and makes me real emotional because it was just a very powerful moment. And so it's kind of become my mission, my goal, to connect as many people as we can to not feel alone. So our, you know, our chapter has, we've been very grateful. We've grown and we keep adding new people and new families. And it's absolutely wonderful. So that's kind of been my mission, is to kind of just bring as many people together and create this, not only a Chicagoland FSHD family, but a global one too, right? Because that's really what it's about. It's about connection and not feeling alone with this disease, because it can feel very alone. And I want to help take any steps I can to eliminate that.
Yeah. Cause it does make you feel that way, feel isolated, like you're on an island. You know, you might be married, or mm-hmm. you might be with a partner, or you might have, you know, a bunch of kids, and well, you're not alone, right? I mean, you got all these people in your community, but when you have to tackle the disease, the things that it does to you, weighs on your mind, what's next kind of feeling, what's it going to take from me now, that can feel very alone. Mm-hmm. As much as those around you don't want you to feel that way, it can be. And it's funny when you mentioned the Starbucks, because that was the first time I met you. That's the first time I was part of any FSHD group at all. And I made the trip from the Milwaukee area here to Chicago. I thought, it's close. I'm going to go do this. And I made that trip. I made that trip, and I walked in there, and it was just, it was overwhelming. It was overwhelmingly positive. Like, it's almost like I kind of, we're in the holiday season, right? And I don't know if anybody remembers the M&M commercial where the M&Ms walk into the room and they go, "He is real." And the Santa says, you know, they are real. It's kind of the same thing. It's that feeling of, I'm not alone. Like, these people are here too, because they deal with this, either family member or those affected. And so to be mm-hmm. part of that, it doesn't matter how large or small the group, the connection's still the same. And to me, that's definitely what you delivered on that day for me and for many others. And then, of course, it's grown now, hasn't it, Dave? Because now you had a huge success in your walk and roll event that just happened this past September. I know you're gearing up for another one coming up in September again. Tell us a little bit about that day, the walk and roll.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, our first walk and roll really, I mean, exceeded every goal and expectation that we had as a committee. So I had an amazing group of people help put this whole thing together, and including my amazing wife, who was the magician towards the end as we got there and put all the miscellaneous details and things into place to help us have a successful walk. But it was, my goal was 150 people. And we had 230. My money goal, I was like, okay, if we can raise $25,000, that'd be awesome. That'd be so good. I'd feel really proud. Yeah. We raised $43,000.
Wow.
43. Yeah. But I think the biggest key for me and what my goal, when I said I would do a walk and roll, my goal and what we kept talking about at every single committee meeting, every meeting we had, it's about family. It's about community. We have to build a community event and a family event. And so we had a food truck there and everybody who walked got a free walking taco.
Nice.
If you don't know what a walking taco is, they're amazing. It's basically taco meat in a bag of Doritos.
Awesome.
It's amazing.
Sold.
So everybody that walked got a free walking taco. But the biggest moment for me was at the end of the walk. Everybody was done walking and I looked around and there were people that had stuck around for the walk. They were eating. Nobody left. People didn't walk and leave. They hung out. They played lawn games. They socialized. People were laughing, telling stories, playing with their kids. I'm like, this is what it's about. This is what it's about. This is the biggest gathering of people, not only that have FSHD in the Chicagoland area, but the people that love them. And nobody left. People didn't walk and leave. And that was the biggest success for me, was having everybody stick around and having this community family picnic, really, you know, just everybody hanging out, sharing food together, sharing stories and laughing.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And we also dialed in with like the most perfect weather ever. It was like 72 and sunny.
Oh,
gorgeous.
Wow. That's
awesome.
It was
amazing. It was amazing.
Man.
So yeah, we're very, very grateful. And we are all rip roaring, ready to go for next year. So we've already got our date booked, same park.
Mm.
I am ready to go for next year too.
Wow. When is your next, are you going to have a chapter meeting coming up in what, maybe 2020 as the calendar turns, or you still
yes.
have one scheduled yet?
Yes. Yes. We will have another one, but nothing scheduled yet. We met a couple weeks ago, kind of our last meeting of 2019, and we'll have one, probably in early January or early part of the year, January, February, meet as a chat. We're trying to meet a few times a year, and just get together and, yeah, just connect. And like you talked about, kind of that community feeling and kind of just being there for each other.
Now, I know too, Dave, that you've not just stepped up when it comes to being a chapter director, obviously a massively successful walk and roll. You're now a celebrity on the telethon, so good job there. And so you're doing all these great things, but you've also done some clinical trials or research. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because we've been kind of hitting that nail as well.
Yeah, I will stand here until you close down tonight at midnight talking about the benefits of participating in clinical research trials and the importance of it. And I've been involved in three studies, and I feel like I'm helping. And I feel like I'm advancing what we know about this disease. And I know that I am. And I think the biggest impact of that was the very first study that I did, which I think was 6 months after I got diagnosed. Because I got diagnosed, my doctor, Dr. Ngard of Northwestern Medicine, who's just an amazing, amazing doctor and human being, reached out to Dr. Tweel at Rochester and said, "Hey, I got a guy who wants to participate in research trials. Do you want him?" They said, yes, absolutely. So 6 months after my diagnosis, I was out in Rochester participating in the study. And it's similar to the Resolve study. But what was cool is I did way more exercises than what the Resolve study has. But the benefit, what I was able to do by participating in that first clinical trial, the researchers were able to pare down the number of exercises that we had to do. And some of them, you know, they got inconsistent data. They didn't get good data or, you know, it wasn't useful. So they were able to take, I'm making up a number, 15 exercises, and whittle that down to maybe 8 or 7 so that we don't have to put people through exercises that maybe aren't useful and don't give us good data. So we're able to, so it was a foundation. So all of these studies, even if there's no, like the Fulcrum one, yes, it's exciting because it's a drug that's going to help stop progression, and that's amazing. But these Resolve studies that are currently recruiting the need people are just as important, and you're helping just as much. Because we are advancing what we know, and it's an amazing time to be involved with FSHD in clinical trials. I got this really amazing feeling like I was contributing and making a difference and advancing what we know. So I can't speak highly enough of it. It's been an amazing, amazing experience to be part of it.
How about the apprehension? Did you have any when you were traveling to Rochester to be a part of this? Did you have a little worry, like, what are they going to do to me? Or, you know, kind of that guinea pig
feeling? Yeah, there was definitely that. that piece of it. You know, there was that nervousness of, you know, what would I do? And yes, you get some, you know, you get some, it's not like some mystery, you know, they give you a description of what you're going to be doing, the exercises or whatever it is, part of the study. That's part of the protocol. So you will find out, there's no surprises. You'll find out exactly what you will be doing and won't be doing during your participation in the clinical trial. So yeah, I have apprehension. But staff at University of Rochester, I swear, they are just amazing people. Like they would come say hi to me, like, oh, Dave's here, let's come say hi. Like they just, they feel like family. Like they reach out and they're excited to see me. And so there's this other kind of FSHD family that's out there that I miss. It's been over a year since I've been out there last for my last trial. So yes, there's apprehension, but you have amazing staff and researchers and doctors and nurses that are there to take care of you and explain everything along the way, whether that's before you get out there or when you're actually there. You're in amazing, caring hands. So yeah, the apprehension will be there, but I'm a big believer in, you know, trusting the process, and that, you know, follow the steps and you're going to be making a big difference. And I think that apprehension will fall away and you'll just be left with a sense of gratitude for having participated and pride. Like, I'm changing the face of my disease. I'm an active participant in advancing what we know, and I'm helping us get closer to a cure. Even if you're not in a study that is administering a drug, you're still helping us get a step closer.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It is a community effort, and in any study you're doing or being a part of, like you mentioned, it kind of like, oh yeah, we're going to eliminate these exercises because it's not useful. Well, you were part of that. You were part of that, that solution to a problem, hence speeding up the process. And if you're a believer in the process and you're part of that, that means you're a part of the whole, which is a cure, which is a treatment. And to put your stamp on that and say, I was a part of that. Yeah, I stood up and I did my very best to be part of the solution. And my friend, you have done way more than me for one and maybe many others. So motivate us all, right, to do a little more because it can be done. And you have proven that. Thanks for being here, Dave. Any final thought that you want to end on before we say goodbye to you?
No, I think the biggest thing is to get involved. And I know most people who are going to be listening are involved. You know, you're listening today because you believe in the FSHD Society and all the hard work and amazing work that they're doing. But I think, you know, the ask that I would have for everybody else is to see, you know, look around you and see if you can bring other people up with you.
There you go.
Whether that's family members, whether that's friends or other connections you have on Facebook. I know I have people all over the world who I'm friends with that have FSHD. So bring other people up with you. If they aren't involved, reach out and bring them in. Even if that's a simple cup of coffee, you know, at a Starbucks, just to connect and have that less of that feeling of isolation. So I think if we can all reach out to one or two people in our life, even if that's through a Facebook message, you know, there's huge power in that connection. So that would be kind of what I think we could all do, is to reach out a little bit more and connect, because this community of FSHD continues to grow. And the more we're all talking together and speaking in the same voice, the louder we're going to be. And the louder we are, people cannot help but listen to us, and we will not be silenced. And so I think the more power we can all get together and do, the faster we're going to get to this cure and the treatment for us.
Beautifully put. Thanks, Dave, for being here. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks for tuning in, too. We appreciate that.
My pleasure.
That support.
Of course.
Awesome. Take care, Dave.
Thanks, Tim. Yep. Take care, buddy.
She is Beth Johnston. Hi, Beth. How are you doing?
I'm good, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing very well, actually. Maybe to some people's surprise that I'm still sitting up and hanging in there. So
you're killing it this morning. And let me tell you, it's a hard act to follow all of these guests that you've had on this morning. You've had some amazing folks on, and I'm so excited to hear the rest of the day as well.
Yeah, it is. It is tough to anchor, right, or to close a session, or to be the headliner. Beth, I mean, right? You go to a concert, you have the opening acts, and then everyone's waiting around for that last guest, and they are here. They are here. You're the reason why they bought the ticket. So no pressure.
Woo-hoo. Here I am.
tell us a little bit about yourself, those that are not 100% familiar with Beth Johnson and what you do for the FSHD Society.
Well, sure. So, for those who don't know me, Beth Johnston here. I am married to my lovely husband, Jeff Johnston, who in 2002 was diagnosed with FSHD when I was pregnant with child number one. So, like you've heard from the other patients that you've had on this morning and yourself and Dave, we were hit by a truck that day. Yeah. And with nowhere to go and no one to talk to. And so in seeking out, ways that I could just deal with it myself, I came across, of course, the FSH Society way back when. And shortly after moving to New York for a job change, became very involved with the FSH Society by volunteering and fundraising. I met a woman there by the name of Judy Steslow, who is a rock star, is also a patient. Her family is affected by the disease. You heard from Jen Egert today. Jen is Judy's niece and became very friendly with the family, loved them to pieces. And we started a fundraiser called the Festive Evening of Song in New York City that went on for years and years and raised over $1 million over the years that we did the fundraiser. So I stayed involved that way, volunteering, fundraising, was on the board of directors for a couple of years, helping that way. And then lucky for me, in 2016, I joined the FSHD Society as full-time staff to get this community going strong. And you know what, Tim, when you are actually working your life's work, it makes life just that much more enjoyable. And so with my husband supporting me, we are doing everything we can to make sure that we cure this damn thing.
Oh, that's well put. I love it. You've definitely stepped up to the task and you've helped form these chapters. How did that start right away? You know, what was the seed, right? What was the beginnings?
Right. So, shortly after our, new president and CEO came on board, Mark Stone, who you heard from this morning. He's done this before. He has taken a rare disease and moved it through the process of getting therapies on the market to the families. And so he knew what needed to be done. He knew that in order to accelerate treatment, we need an army of activists around the world. And the way that we can build that army is through a chapter program. And so although many people have been involved with local meetings, you know, I had one here in Denver. We had a little support group meeting that we used to meet, I don't know, monthly or quarterly, whenever we could. But we formalized that program and put staff support behind it, put resources behind it, put technology behind it so that we could grow it to really activate our community in a formal fashion. So that's, lo and behold, Mark pointed at me and said, "You're going to put together a chapter program and we're going to have 30 chapters by the end of 2020. And I was like, okay. I have help. Many of you have met the lovely Anna Gilmore, who's the regional director for the East Coast. And I'm really excited to announce that we will have another regional director joining us after the first of the year by the name of Lee Reynolds. She is currently a consultant for us, helping us with this chapter program. She's started these programs in other disease organizations and helped us build ours fantastically. But we grew so dang fast because our community was so excited to build this. We grew too fast, and now we're having to bring on another director to help support our chapters. So starting January 1, Lee Reynolds will be joining us as well.
Wow.
Very excited about that.
Very awesome. Very awesome. Add another great tool in the toolbox. Yes. I remember meeting her, that was last January in the Chicago gathering that we all had, right, with the chapters.
That's right. And we'll be doing it again this January. We all of our chapter directors and our walk and roll leaders come together once a year in person in Chicago for 2 days of intensive training. And she will be there as staff this year. And I hope you'll be able to join us, Tim, as a chapter director.
I am working on that. Yes. That's awesome. Yeah, because that was a lot of fun to kind of get together. I think there's still a group. I don't know if the group picture that you all took of us last year, that I think that was up on the FSHD Society site for a while. It's probably still out there amongst all the photos, so that was fun. Tell us also, too, about...
I'll post the picture.
Yeah, that'd be great, because it just shows, okay, like, the presence, you know, the force behind the chapters, those leaders.
Right.
And then throughout the whole country to kind of come together like that. Why Chicago in all places in January? I'm still scratching my head about. But...
Well,
it's
we
cold.
Have our reasons.
I know, it's easier
cold,
that way.
It's cheap and it's accessible.
Absolutely, absolutely. I get it. Just last year, let's just hope there's no polar vortex like there was last year. Then I think it'll all be fine for all those involved. That's exciting too, but also what I love is the walk and roll events. You know, tell us about that idea, you know, another source of fundraising throughout the year.
Right, so... You know, the walk and rolls for FSHD have actually been going on for years and years and years. There was Amy Beck here out in San Diego started one in the Southern California area way, way back when, even before I was involved. And we had a similar walk up in the, I think up in the Boston area, in Cape Cod, there was a walk that kind of did once in a while. But we decided that we needed a national branded event that we could put, call it in a box, kind of air quotes, if you can see me doing air quotes. We have a fundraiser in a box that we wanted to make easy and accessible for anybody who wanted to hold a fundraiser to actually pull out this toolkit and execute it in their area. It's got everything. It's got timelines. It's got materials, marketing materials. We built a software platform for fundraising where people can, you know, sign up and invite their friends and family to donate to their cause. And it really is just a step-by-step program that anyone can follow if they want to do a walk in their area. It's Mark says, it's kind of like having a garage sale. So it's not like it can be a lot of work, you know, because you have to label everything and price everything and clean out your garage and put up the signs and invite right. people and advertise. Right. But, right. actually doing it, it's pretty easy because you know what needs to be done. It's just a step-by-step process, and it's just a matter of, you know, getting the signs out on the street and making sure people come to your garage sale. So, Lee Reynolds, again, helped us do training videos for our Pioneer Walk leaders. Last year, we had five people who stepped up to say, yeah, we'll test your program. We're going to test this toolkit. We're going to test the platform, and we'll execute a walk and roll in our area. And so we put these five, we call them Pioneer Walk Leaders, through, I won't call them our guinea pigs, but I did just say it out loud, but they were our pioneers who we took through an entire year of training and then to test all of our systems and then to hold a walk in their area. And these five people... They were just amazing, and they pulled it off, man. They raised a ton of money, and it was great. That was in 2018. This year, I am so proud to say that we had 11 walk and rolls around the country, all over from coast to coast, raising almost $500,000 between throughout the 11 sites. I think we had overall about 1,500 participants around the country. And next year we are planning on doubling that amount. We want to have, maybe 20 events around the country. So
amazing.
Yeah, if you think that you want to, do something and you're not sure what it is you want to do to help our cause, and you've got a couple of friends, family members that you can, bribe to help you do a fundraiser, we've got the toolkit to do it. We really do.
Yeah, you do make it easy as it can be, because it is tough to organize any event, right? And like you said, it's an awesome idea. You get really fired up to do it, and then you're like, oh, now how do we do it? And it seems that your area of the FSHD Society says, this is how you do it. Here, take this. Here's what you need, and off you go. I mean, look at how successful, you know, Dave Lucas's Chicagoland Walk and Roll was. This is the first year that they did it. And if you...
His first year. He's crazy.
Yeah.
You should have seen... He went above and beyond, by the way. His event was extraordinary. And I will say that, Dave, out loud, your walk was absolutely amazing. For first year walk, I was totally blown away by what you put together. And he, you know, the taco truck thing, that's just hilarious. You know, he brought in a food truck and fed everybody. And it was just, and you know what? All the other walks around the country were just as amazing. Everyone mm-hmm. just really put their heart and soul into it. And every walk was just beautiful. It was great.
Do you find that each walk event is kind of putting their own, you know, local flavor to it, you know, with Dave with his taco truck and, you know, or like other local chapters that throw a walk and roll event on, you find that they're kind of putting their own little, hey, this is what we do over here in this part of the country take on it?
Oh, absolutely. Every walk has its own personality. I will tell you that That's for good. Sure. It has the personality of the area. It has the personality of the walk leader. It has a personality of the chapter members that belong there. And they are all unique and different and amazing in their own way, for sure.
In your own words, you know, how, and I know that the disease has affected your family, with, you know, your husband's diagnosis, so you can totally relate to all the stories that have been going on and what we've been sharing today. In your own words, you know, what is the importance of a day like today? You know, where we have $100,000 match on this Giving Tuesday, What is the funding? What does this mean to you personally?
Well, as so many have already said, Dave included, you know what? The only way we're going to get this done is if we do it ourselves. And the only way we're going to do it is through funding. And it's just that's the end of the story right there. It takes money to do it. And we're not going to get to that goal, to that light at the end of the tunnel, to have treatments to our families by 2025, unless number one, we activate, we get involved. And secondly, we raise money. That's what it's going to be. And so for me personally, you know, my husband's pushing 50, believe it or not. He looks like he's about 40, but he's pushing 50 and he is unable to walk unassisted at this point. Mm-hmm. But my hope for him is that we stop this thing in its tracks and, he stays that way. He doesn't get any worse or perhaps even get better. Maybe
right.
Who knows what'll happen when we stop the disease. Maybe our muscles will grow back. Who knows what's going to happen. But I'm also looking at the future. I'm looking at my children. I have two teenage girls and hopefully one day they'll have children. And this is about our future, guys. Like, you know, not only for the folks that are affected today, but this is our future. And we, that's what it means to me. It's my family and it's your family and it's all of our families. That's what it means.
Yeah. It's definitely time for us all to kind of keep that in perspective. That's like our North. It is the future. This is what we have to eliminate. This is what we have to take care of. We have to handle it now. We have to make the dent in it. We have to find the cure. 2025 is attainable. You can't lose sight of that hope, you know? It's not, oh, are you sure we're really going to get no pessimists? No, we keep going forward. And the only way we do that is what you've done, Beth, what you've helped create, and that's these chapters. You and Lee Reynolds and everyone there at the FSHD Society that obviously are putting more chips in the pile here, even more in for coming up in the 2020 year, as it sounds like these walk and roll events are going to be even bigger and even better and raise more funds and more awareness. So I, without a doubt, appreciate all you do for the FSH, the Society. I love your energy. If anybody has a chance to meet Beth, just, you gotta, you know, you're going to know where she is. She's the one with the energy around her, you know, that positive energy. She's a great person to be around. And I thank you for being here, Beth, and sharing your story and sharing the message today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would just encourage everybody, like you said, right before we got on, is on the website is, if you can't find a chapter that's close to you, there is a button right there that says start a chapter. Mm. That information will come to me and I will call you and we will talk about perhaps starting a chapter in your area. Also, there's a button there. You can look for local events, local walks or other fundraising events in your area. And if there isn't one close to you and you'd like to start one, again, press the button and I will be calling you. There's nothing more amazing than seeing this group, our community come together at these chapter events and at these fundraising events. It's just, talk about energy. Let me tell you, it gives me the energy that I need to keep going. It's just seeing all of our community come together for this stuff. So again, check our website. All the local chapters are listed there. And if you want to start a chapter in your area, I'm happy to help do that, as well as help with any fundraising questions that anybody has.
Awesome. Thanks again, Beth. Well, that wraps up episode 3 of our Giving Tuesday telethon interviews. Special thanks to Kylie Higgs, Dave Lucas, and Beth Johnson for being a part of this episode. If you want to know more about FSHD Society and where to donate, or even find a chapter in your area, go to fshdsociety.org. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.